I think an entrepreneur is somebody who is carving their own path. There's a kid screaming upstairs.
This is Glass Ceiling Chronicles, a podcast that explores the stories of women that have packaged their knowledge and how the world responds to it.
Finding a balance is something that I'm trying to give up on. I think that it has been a source of pressure and stress for me, thinking about finding the perfect balance.
We all have 24 hours in a day. How we choose to allocate these hours varies from person to person. The term work-life balance comes from this notion that in a 24-hour day, 8 hours would be spent at work, 8 hours would be spent asleep, and 8 hours would be spent at play or, you know, other miscellaneous activities. But if we're being really honest with ourselves, it doesn't really work out that way. In this episode, we're talking about motherhood, entrepreneurship, and rejecting balance. We explore why this 8-hour split does not work and the systems that women are adopting as a response.
I have 3 kids, and I'd had my 3rd kid 5 years ago. I moved to the city of Guelph, which is about 1 hour and 15 minutes outside of Toronto. And I was still commuting a few days a week to Toronto, working with an organization there and really wanting to get rooted in my community and have good work-life balance for my family and for my kids. But also I knew that I had knowledge and skills that I wanted to share with more organizations. And so I decided to go for it.
My name is Ayolua.
My name is Kelly Thibodeau.
My name is Michelle Leclerc.
My name is Ori Ochoga.
My full name is
Heba. I'm Candace Allery.
My name is Oyinda Bolala.
I'm Lauren Murray.
My name is Shayna Robinson.
My name is Karen Anchetta.
My name is Chinello.
My name is Meredith Davis. My business is called Good Roots Consulting, and I work with charities and nonprofit organizations to help them evaluate their programs. So to see what's working well and what could be improved. I also help organizations plan for the future. I'm a recovering pleaser and perfectionist. I'm working hard on that. And so having a boss, I always had this sort of anxiety or wanting to always make sure that I was doing the right thing, that they knew where I was, how I was spending my time, my hours, that kind of thing. And now that I'm my own boss, I don't worry about any of that. When I first started out as a consultant, I was using my personal Gmail address. I didn't have a website. I was sort of doing it a bit half-assed. And it was actually my partner who said, if you're going to go for this, take the time and really go for it. You know, we had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old. And it meant having the youngest 2 in daycare. So right away, that's almost your whole month's salary. Before I'd had a salary, and this time right now I didn't even have a salary. So at the beginning, I didn't have any money to pay myself. And so I took a loan from a family member for a few months to allow myself to take the time to work on a website, get a brand, get a logo, and really present myself in a more serious way. This was my 5th year in business, and I was actually able to pay off that loan. So now I'm debt-free and feel like it was worthwhile for sure.
Motherhood is such an amazing and beautiful thing. Mother can so easily be a noun as well as a verb. And in speaking with these amazing entrepreneurs, it was clear that motherhood was a huge part of their lives and their identities. So my question to them then became, how has motherhood affected their lives and their businesses?
In some ways, motherhood has made me a better artist and a better human, because once you've experienced that much, that type of pain, like, you know, you hit that pain threshold up here and everything else is like, yeah, it's, you know, it's fine, you know, as opposed to when you're 20s, maybe everything's dire. So my name is Karen Anchetta. I am a Hamilton-born Filipina-Canadian artist, but have been lucky enough to go where I have been invited, which makes me multidisciplinary. I started out as an actor and then found myself being asked to participate in new play development, which is kind of what an actor gets to do. It's one of the beautiful things to support playwrights. And then I sort of stepped into directing a little bit here and there. I have a company called Porch Light Theater. I'm the co-founder of that with my partner in crime, Aaron Jan, who's also from Hamilton originally. And then there's all these other projects that I'm kind of like got my hands dipped into. When I started, when I wanted to start Porch Light Theater, like 4, 5, 6 years ago, my partner in crime was still in school. And I said, come back home. Maybe we can do something. And he was like, I'm gonna come back home. There's nothing there. There's nothing there to support me. He needed to stay in Toronto. Fine. So then later, he saw me like 4 years later and said, hey, we should talk again. I thought, oh, okay, this is great. And what we really strive to do and be is be the thing that we wish for. And one of the things we wish for is more support, more funding, and to get paid. So we decided to do the garden project. We thought we can raise money during the pandemic to support one artist and give them seed money, about maybe like $2,000 to work on the project at this time because everything was shutting down. And then let's give them a mentor and we'll pay the mentor like $500. So we tried and we raised enough to fund the first artist and then the second. And then word got out. We had funded a third and a fourth. We raised almost $18,000 during pandemic in like 3 months. So we did the first year. We were able to support 4 artists with a garden project to give them seed money. And they all got mentored by the mentor of their choice. We thought that this project was about giving people seed money, but then later we realized, no, it's about mentorship. It's about connecting community and allowing people to get paid to learn and to connect with the people that they need to complete their project. So for me, I feel like this has to happen. It really has to happen. We need to make this project sustainable. We need to make this project a legacy project. So this is the thing that I'll just put my energy to for the rest of my life. I look at my kids and they are the best, most amazing production I have ever worked on. And I remember there was a point where I wasn't acting and I thought, you know, am I enough? And then I look at my kids and I thought, to them I am, you know? And that's all that matters. If I go and that is the thing that I produce, then that's good, you know? Everything else is gravy.
Some of your listeners might know that I recently, 5 months ago this week, had a little baby. And prior to having my son, I was very much like, listen, people, when you are paying for my time, do not have your kids on my computer. Don't do it. And if you do, make sure that they're, you know, in position enough that they can be distracted or something like that, because I understand that that's not always possible, right? But listen, my son did his first consultation with me at 2 days old. He's probably going to open his mouth and be consulting. But there also comes a point in time now that he's babbling that I have to say, oh, he can't be on the calls with me anymore. When he was little and sleeping, that was fine. This doesn't work anymore. And so we have to know that that's something that somebody could be judging me by. And I have to accept that. But I also have to recognize that my clients are paying for my time, not for me to be split in my attention to them. My name is Shayna Robinson, and I'm the CEO of The Branding Boutique. I am a creative director as well as an image consultant, and we do full service branding for CEOs. We have a little bit of a different angle where we like to focus on the woman first and making sure that her brand is rooted in who she is, her aspirations, and what I like to call a lived legacy. Everybody talks about legacy when we're dead and gone. I believe in enjoying your legacy while you're here and making sure that you truly live out what you're meant to in your time here in this world.
So I think when we talk about women in business and especially motherhood and business, people are, okay, you have to choose one. Are you going to be fully committed to motherhood or fully committed to business? Like, let's be real. Choose one.
Girl, it's tough. Let me say that. Even with a support system, your child becomes your number one. This child needs you to nourish them, needs you to clothe them, needs you to care for them. Your business can always wait. Your child cannot. And there's only 4 years that your kid is small, and they grow so, so fast. So I don't think that there's one blanket statement here. If I had to choose, I can't. My business was my first child as a business, and my child is my first physical child. Mm-hmm. I love them, you know, both so much, and they required very different things of me. Something that I had to really pay attention to when I found out I was pregnant around this time last year, I had to say, okay, I need to go ham for the next like 8 months. I need to go crazy, which I did. Okay. And was selling left and right, working with clients left and right, literally up until I delivered. And then I got to go for 5 seconds, and then I was back on calls. But that was my choice. I didn't have to be there. My team is strong enough that I didn't have to show up, but I love it so much. So I think that we put a lot of pressure on women, especially women in business. And then on top of it, if you're a mother who's also a business owner, because you feel split, not just between the children and the business, if you have a partner, if you have, you know, he or she, whatever, has their own needs on top of that. They want your time and attention. You need your time and attention. If you're anything like me, my parents are aging, so they need your time and attention. And how do you do it all? You can't. You can't. I don't care. The best person cannot manage everything. So what it becomes is more a sense of priorities. And those priorities can shift over the season. The day that Cairo was born, my dad had had a stroke and also came home to stay with me for 2 weeks, right? We, like, the first 3 weeks were insane. Insane. A brand new baby, you're not sleeping, and you're also caring for an elderly person. But in that season, I had to do what I had to do. No regrets, no issues. But you can't have it all. You can't be all things to all people in all times. And I think we have to recognize that and be okay with that. And just prioritize what we can and can't do and get really good at being like, I can't do it. Or I'm at my max.
I was talking to someone yesterday and we were laughing about how, like, now my kids are learning to make their own food. And it's that, like, I taught them how to not depend on me. Not because I don't want them to do that, but for them to see that it's possible to do all of these things once you create that safety within yourself and you don't dwell on guilt and shame that you're not doing and holding all the balls at the same time. You cannot hold all the balls at the same time. And a big part of my story was I had tried to hold all the balls at the same time, and I ended up with irritable bowel syndrome, which was a misdiagnosis just because my system was so shot. And 2 years later, about 3 years later, I ended up in the hospital again because of heart palpitations because my system was shot. My name is Uime Oguta. I'm a life and nutrition coach for moms. I host a weekly podcast called the Thriving Mom Podcast, and I also have a business where I help moms who are looking to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, to end dieting, and also to raise healthy, competent eaters. I do that through my business, which is Olive and Bliss Wellness. One of the reasons why I never really wanted to jump into business or call myself an entrepreneur was because I thought that if I have a business, it's going to take away from my children. It'll take away from my family. I have to hustle 24/7. The culture teaches us that to succeed, this is what you need to do. One thing I always think about is, as moms, there is this thing where people talk about work-life balance. I don't believe in work-life balance because there is never going to be balance when you think about it that way. I believe in creating the safety in my body, in myself, to know that when I show up in my work, I commit to it and do my work. When I show up in my business, I commit to it and do what needs to be done. When I show up in my family and with my children and my husband, I show up. That doesn't mean that I always get it right. That means sometimes I might not be there for bedtime because maybe a coaching call needs to happen because I need to make time for my client. So then my husband gets to step into that role and support. So I've had to learn and change and evolve as I grow, noticing what's working in this season and how can I apply it in the season to come. The whole time remembering, yes, I have a deep passion to help moms, but also my family is very valuable to me. And how do I make it all work without burning myself out, without sacrificing myself as a mom? Because at the end of the day, I'm still human and I still want to enjoy my life.
We see women who we look up to, who look like they have it all together. And then we look at ourselves and say, why don't I? But the thing is, you have no clue what that woman is going through behind closed doors. We have to, even looking at our moms and be like, man, how did they do it? It was also a different time. They had a struggle. It just didn't look exactly like ours. The same way we probably couldn't live in their time and handle what they had to go through, right? Our ancestors, oh my goodness, like, really? No, I probably couldn't do half of what they were doing at all. I'm tired just going up and down some stairs some days. And they go so hard. We have one life to live and we don't know when the last day is. Why are we spending so much time about on all of the things that we should have done or could have done? Do what you want to do. Take care of what you want to take care of and what you need to take care of. And make sure to enjoy your life because it could be gone like that.
So how are these women changing the narrative and adopting systems that give them a sure footing while navigating the world? Shayna tells us a little about her mother and how her story shapes her hopes and desires for women now and in the future.
My mom and dad came over from the Caribbean 51 years ago in February. And my mom is a brilliant woman. And she was a teacher back in the Caribbean. But, you know, for those people who don't know, when you come from foreign countries and you come to Canada or the States, they do not recognize your education. They think that because you come from a third world country that you're not educated. And most times they're more educated than our Canadian or our American counterparts. So you don't get recognized. They send you back to school. They send you back for credits. And that's why you see a lot of doctors and physicians, teachers, professors, all that kind of stuff who end up having to go back to school or working jobs that are menial in comparison to what they did back home. So parents came over 50 years ago. And to this day, you know, my mom's is still working. She's 72. She's going to be retiring in June. So I'm really excited for her. But I don't feel like she became who she was meant to. She helped my dad build his business. And he never turned around and said, like, it's your turn now. And even though she had four amazing kids, you know, we're all trouble in our own way. She really dedicated her life to us. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, what did she have to show for it that was just hers? And we've had conversations about this, so nobody come for me on this. And so what I want for women is for them to never feel like that. I want them to feel like they had something that was theirs, and that doesn't take away from your partner or your family or anything. It's just this one thing for you.
Currently, some of the things that we do are we all work a 30-hour work week, and that's considered full-time for us. So I pay a full-time salary for 30 hours a week. And when I first started, you know, my partner said to me, are you going to prorate that? Like that's not a very big work week. And I, in my heart, I knew that that is an amount of work that can allow somebody to have work-life balance, to take care of their families, to clean the house. If you need to take time to clean the house, go to medical appointments, volunteer at the school, but also to bring your best every day for 5 to 6 hours, brain on, ready to go. And so that's what we've been doing.
I remember performing with my second born in my belly, a show about care workers. And it was like the first time I ever thought, yeah, this is great company to be with because they get it. I don't have to hide that I'm a mom or that I have to bring my kid with me. You know, it's not because I'm incompetent. It's because this is part of who I am. Being able to come into a space and bring your whole self as an artist is a beautiful thing. And I think that people are starting to go, yeah, why not? Maybe there should be childcare. We should just have childcare right in the budget because we need that.
My work has been learning to slow down. And in slowing down, I asked myself what matters when it comes to my children. Yes, the guilt existed because I wanted to be a good mom. I wanted to be the picture of what a mom is supposed to be in society. But when you look about it, there's really no ideal picture of motherhood. So as women, we have to recognize that that system was not created for us. It was created for the white, straight male. So women cannot expect to fit the culture, to follow the culture that was set up for those kinds of people to succeed. We get to decide how do we want to create an environment that feels safe enough for women, whether they choose to be moms or not, to be able to get to their ceiling and pull other women up as well. Because I think that when women have power and voice, the world is so much better.
You have been listening to Glass Ceiling Chronicles. Special thanks to Meredith Davis of Goodroot Consulting, Karen Anchetta of Porchlight Theater, Shane Robinson of Brandon Boutique, and Mvime Unta of Olive and Bliss Wellness. Till next time, stay safe.